Hello and welcome to Brainwaves, bringing you the best in tabletop gaming news. My name's Sam Maggs. Jamie? Jamie, it's your intro. Ian? You've got to do your intro bit. Is anyone here? Guys, wait. Oh, I don't know. Why I bother turning up. You can just do it yourself this week. Bye.
And we're here at UK Games Expo in day two, three. I've lost track really already.
Day two, Ian.
Day two. Well, day two to you, day three to me. You know, who knows? I'm Ian McAllister, writer, reviewer, raconteur for the Giant Brain.
I'm Jimmy Adams, gamer, and very much the third wheel in this bicycle of reviews and news.
Yes, much like a tricycle, and we're here at UK Games Expo, and you're not, Sam. Back to you.
Hello? Sam? Sam? Anyone there? Oh, guess it's just me.
I made it.
Oh, hi, Ian.
I made it. I haven't missed anything.
No, I was just looking.
Where's Sam?
I don't know. I think he's out. I don't know. Where have you been?
I just got back from Expo.
You just got back?
Just back.
Oh, good. You have a good time?
Yeah. Let's talk about it a little bit. You were there too. I was at Expo as well.
Oh, yeah.
Expo was a fantastic. Yeah, you were there for a couple of days. Yeah, we had a great time. So let's tell everyone about it, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
So, for those not in the know, UK Games Expo happened over last weekend, over the first weekend of June, at Birmingham NEC. Massive number of gamers, exhibitors, and tournaments going on there. They had 21,700 uniques over the 3 days, 39,000 in attendance, which is a massive increase, a 30% increase in last year. They said they managed to increase both floor space, exhibitors, and attendance by approximately 30% right across the board, which is absolutely fantastic. It's a great con. I personally recommend going there. Jamie, it was your first time there. What did you think of it?
Well, first of all, I was completely blown away by it. Just stepping in and going, there is so much. What do I do? I really did enjoy it. Admittedly, a lot of it was going, oh, there's so much. Does anyone want me to play their game? There's people playing this game. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I'll just step away. Oh, there's more things. Oh, there's another shop. I had a great time. I was there for the Friday and the Saturday.
Yeah. I was there for all 4 days. I managed to go down on the Thursday. I got into the press preview and had a look around there. And then I was there for the 3 days right through. Really good fun. I was a little bit spaced out by the end of it. But it was absolutely excellent. And I managed to get down most of my hit list. So let's have a wee chat about that. And I know you played some of these games as well, Jamie. So we can have a wee chat as we go. So first up for me on the Thursday, on the Friday, was Alley Cat Games, their new pirate deck builder called Ruthless, which I managed to play with the lovely Ross from At More Games Please, and a gentleman called Richard, who was a very nice chap. And this is a really fast-paced little deck builder, quite quick play time, but feels really pacey, lots of interesting decisions to be made, and they have got the pre-order for that up right now, and I thoroughly recommend you go and pre-order it, because I know I will be. Great little package. It's going to be like, I think it's £22 or something like that, which is a bargain for this
reasonable
game. The artist, Roland, was demoing the game to us, and the art style is absolutely fantastic. I really like it. Really good game. Hope people check that out. Bad Cat Games, which is ironically a Scottish company, I've been trying to get in touch with them. I was trying to meet up with them to play Gladiators for some time. I got a wee demo at last year's Dragon Meet, but I got a bit more of a taste of it this time around. Really interesting game where you're basically playing the owners of Gladiators as well as doing the fights for Gladiators. So there's a sort of campaign kind of mode where you play over different fights. Got to play around or so of that with Duncan from Tabletop Scotland and Rory from Board Meetings, and that was really good fun. I've got a preview copy of that, which hopefully you, Sam, and I can break out soon and get a proper idea of that. And then I think the next one is the first one we both played, and that was Brain Crack Games and The Gig. So this is a game about being in a jazz band. Nice. And what did you think of it, Jimmy?
Well, last time I remember you mentioned it, and my ears perked up, and I went, jazz band? Sounds amazing. Because I think Playing in a band, is not a unique theme. I mean, there are quite a few games that are doing it, but it's how well it works. And this, well, it was billed as the cooperative game, but also competitive elements in it, where you're playing individual instruments in a band and you're working on a sheet in front of you to fill out your solos, but you're also working to complete the song. And it's a dice drafting mechanic. I'm not sure it should have been billed as a cooperative game. I think it was a little bit misleading, because the only cooperative thing in it seemed to be so you can end the round.
Yeah, there didn't seem a lot of push to finish the main song, but maybe that'll come out more with like a longer play. But I only had a sort of 20-minute demo.
I only had a 20-minute demo, so one song. One song, yeah. Yes, me too.
Yeah, well, I played about half a song with a guy, okay. with the demo, and yeah, it intrigued me enough to want to play more. But I agree that I didn't quite feel the co-op element as much, but maybe that'll come through as you play the game a lot.
I'd like to, same with you. I'd like to try a bit of a longer set list and just see if it gets better for me. I'm not going to say I was let down by it. I just think it's made me a bit more wary and gone, okay, I'll have a little look at this and kind of see.
The 20-minute demo did its job for me, which was to intrigue me and make me want to play more. I checked out DigiSprite, which are a Dundee-based company, a company I didn't know about until I hit the preview. They had their new game, Doomsday Bots, which is on Kickstarter right now. We'll put that in the show notes, and is fully funded. This is an interesting little game about building a sort of steampunkish robot, running to the top of a tower, beating up a boss, and running back to the bottom with the boss's weapon so you can hand it to your boss, who is also an evil genius and wants to destroy the world. Beautiful art, fun little game. And on Kickstarter now, a new company, so yeah, check that
Sounds
one out.
Nice and ridiculous.
We'll probably talk about this next one a little bit more in depth over the course of this, but this is Hub Games, so you got to play this a little bit before me, Jamie. Let's hear your first impressions on the game from the column.
It's midday on day two or three, depending on how you look at it, at UK Games Expo, and Jamie has just come out of a game of Billy Kerr. What's it called? Holding On.
Holding On, The Troubled Life of Billy Kerr.
And how did you find it? Because I'm playing that on Sunday.
I don't want to influence your opinion. I loved it. Co-op, worker placement. Of course, I'm the worker placement guy, so of course I'd like it. No, the theme comes through pretty strong.
Okay.
We came down to the wire, as in there was the last turn, and we fulfilled the win conditions. Nice and different, and I don't really want to say too much, because I don't want to influence you and give away anything that you might enjoy.
Yeah, we can have a chat about it once I've played it.
Absolutely. But yes, so far, my game of the show.
Cool.
Excellent.
There we go, folks. Back to Sam in the studio.
Oh, no, I'm still not doing it. You don't turn up to sessions. I said you can do it yourself. Carry on.
So, yeah, you seemed really enthusiastic about it, and I didn't want to know too much before my actual playthrough of it. I eventually played it Sunday morning with Michael from We Are Hub Games, who was doing a sterling job running two games at once. I really enjoyed my first playthrough of it. My first thoughts on the game, which are basically what I thought about it after one playthrough without knowing much about the rules and that kind of thing, are up on the giant brain right now. And yeah, it's a fascinating game. Do you think, Jamie, tackling a really difficult subject?
I completely agree. I had a look at your thoughts on it, and I agree. I think the aesthetic is very, for want of a better phrase, clinical, in that it is simple but effective as a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally clinical. It looks very like a hospital kind of. One of the people I was playing with was called Clarissa, and she actually worked in healthcare, and she commented that like that aesthetic
very,
came
very
through quite well.
That's very good. Yeah, I think the choice of subject is a difficult one. The story I originally heard was their first idea of it of the game was going to be a man, I think, suffering from dementia or something like that, and. The game is about memories, and apparently the initial prototype was you basically having to discard memories and get rid of things. But apparently it was so depressing they had to do a bit of a shift. I was very intrigued.
If Jamie didn't summarize that in our little cut to Expo, basically it's a game about a man has come in suffering from a massive heart attack. He's effectively dying, and your job is to help him come to terms with his life effectively. We both played through the first scenario. It's a 10-scenario box. uncovering the life of this man called Billy Kerr, which is hence the name, holding on the life of Billy Kerr. The troubled life of Billy Kerr, I apologise. I have a slight concern that the gameplay might be a little samey over the course of the 10 scenarios, but Michael did say they would change it up over the course of those games.
That's what
scenarios.
I was going to say, yeah. Hearing Michael talk about it, and he was wonderful just to speak to and kind of have us run it through. He was saying that there are certain, and again, I don't know if this is a spoiler, but as you said, this gameplay is going to change up slightly. There's a mini game or two that comes in, which might be slightly gimmicky, but I don't know. But he was saying that of the designers at Hub Games, each one has a different scenario they enjoy playing most. So that's nice to hear.
Good. Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping to be included in the press copies for that one that comes out later in the year. We might be getting an advanced copy, and I'd really like to play through that with you and Sam if we do get one. We can give a better idea of what we think about it then. But yeah, really interesting game. Yeah, it's a really interesting game, and I'm really happy to see the board game design world tackling interesting different subjects, very human subjects like that. Moving on from that to something a little bit more traditional in Legends Untold from Inspiring Games, I hit these folks up and had a chat to them, played their new game, Lord of the Horde. Again, this is a Scottish company that I don't get to see very often. Hopefully going to put pay to that soon with a bit of a Scottish meetup. More information on that soon, hopefully. Legends Untold is looking fantastic. I previewed it way back in the early days of the press side of the Giant Brain. It's a basically RPG in a box kind of thing, looking really, really good now. I'm hoping to review that properly soon, the sort of almost final version. And Lords of the Horde is their new game about orcs going and beating up dwarfs for honor and glory and things like that. I think it needs a little bit more polish, but there's a solid game idea in there. But yeah, it does need a little bit more polish. They know that as well. And I'll be finished later in the year, I think. Sinister Fish were on my hit list, but I'd been given a preview copy of their game Villagers by Rory from Bormeans. Very nice of him to pass it on. And you and I played this in the Hilton Bar one night, Jamie. What did you think of it?
I was a bit wary at first. It's, again, I think I'm always very wary, definitely very wary with new games.
Jamie's basically scared of games. It's very strange.
Terrified, if it's got plastic and cardboard. But as we played and as things revealed itself, I ended up really enjoying the game and just finding the little intricacies of each, finding each character's abilities and interestingly,
and there's more of that. There's more of that in the Kickstarter fantastic. As well. Like, there's more variety and that kind of thing. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I played a couple of games of it. I think the hype is real on that one, folks. It's a really good game on Kickstarter.
I was tempted to pick up the Kickstarter for it.
Yeah, Kickstarter's live right now. It's very cheap for what you gain. And it's one of those fascinating little box games I really love that does an elegant thing.
I do hope they change the art though. Although I kind of don't as well, because almost all the art.
Yeah, I like it.
It was nice, but all the villagers had what looked like googly eyes. So everything was that.
Some of the villagers do look very
it
surprised.
Was quite absurd, and that made it even better when you've got like a swineherd just with a pig just going, ah.
Yeah, the saddler looks very surprised at making saddles. The next two I wanted to hit were Timeline Board Game Design and Themeborn. Themeborn, I just went and had a chat to Thomas Pike, who's a really nice guy. He was interviewed for the Meeting of the Mind series that I've got on the Giant Brain. They've got a Kickstarter live right now as well for an expansion to Escape the Dark Castle, which I backed. That's two new expansions and a collector's box with a whole slew of new stuff in it. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that later in the year. But there wasn't actually that much new on the stall for me, so I basically skipped over that one. And Taiwan Board Game Design, their stall was always busy, but they were nice enough to give me a press copy of one of their games, which is the Galaxy Wrestling Federation. I hope to get that to the table soon and give you my first impressions of that and what I think about it. And last but not least off my hit list was Turtle Dream Games. They were showing off Dare to Dream, which is a sort of tower defense game, one versus many, of toys defending dreamers from nightmares. A little bit sort of like the stuffed fables we've had from Plaid Hat Games recently. I didn't get a demo of that, but I did get sort of like an impression of the game, and it looks really cool. I really should have asked for a press copy of that to get a review of it, but I'm still a little bit reluctant to do that sometimes. Which is something I need to get over. You had a little bit of a hit list as well, Jamie. Did you get to see all the stuff on yours?
Quite a small hit list. One of them was Holding On, The Troubled Life of Billy Kerr, which we've talked about. My other ones were two games from Phalanx Games, Polish company. One was Nanty Narking, which was the remake of Martin Wallace's Ankh-Morpork board game, which is that kind of cult favourite. And also U-Boat, which was a...
That looked cool. I saw you, but I didn't get a chance.
I was exactly
to play
the same. I got to the booth. I didn't get to play any of the games because every time I did, they were in the middle of the games. Or they were having to explain to people multiple times that, yes, it's like Captain Sonar. No, Captain Sonar. This is not Captain Sonar. Captain Sonar is a party game. This is a simulationist game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they had like compasses and maps and stuff laid out beside.
They had a mobile or a tablet video for the tutorial, and I was standing around watching some people watching the tutorial, and their faces were just going,
That game is 100% not for me, but I love that it exists.
I want it to be for me.
And the people
yeah,
will
I love the idea of it. I was very close to backing it when it was on Kickstarter. I just think now I'm getting to a point where I'm going, would I get this to the table very often? Now, I have friends who love military simulations and would do it, but I don't think I'd get it enough. So I just went...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think their Kickstarter is delivering later this year. I think the pledge manager is now closed for it, but it will hopefully be coming for retail as well. You managed to get a shot of Pathfinder 2.0 as well. Do you want us to give your quick impressions of
how you find that? Very quickly, because we only played, basically it was only the combat side of it we played. Now my Pathfinder experience, again, is limited. I've played a couple of games. Quite enjoyed it. I've always found Pathfinder nice, but a bit bloated in terms of the rules. The guy who was running it said very similar for the first edition, so they've eliminated some dice rolls from it, some, they believe, extraneous dice rolls. They've slimmed it down. I think it makes the combat system a bit quicker, which is nice. They've gated off some abilities and feats behind classes, for example, attacks of opportunity. The famous thing for role-playing is now only available to classes like fighters, because, as the guy said, it stands to reason that a wizard who spent their whole life learning magic shouldn't be able to make an attack of opportunity. It's not what they're trained to do. That's kind of nice. They've got rid of confirming natural 20, confirming critical hits. So if you roll a natural 20, you rolled a natural 20. So they're pulling that back into D&D. And a critical hit is also... scored when you beat the target number by 10 or more, and critical failure is if you fail by 10 or more. So the design was kind of saying it's going to speed up combat. So if you're easily hitting things, you're just carving through baggers. They've now introduced a system whereby on your turn you've got three actions and any number of free actions. Actions have different costs. So an attack is one, a move is one, and like getting something out is one. So that's kind of nice that they've kind of slimmed that down, because although I understand why people are liking, you know, standard actions, this is a move action, this is a swift action, this is a free action, I'm still confused as to how many swift actions I'm allowed in a turn, one move action, but then is a move action a standard action, and does that count? So that's kind of okay. So far I'm liking it. Let's see how it continues.
D&D 5th has become so large and so big so quickly, and has totally blown Pathfinder out of the water. And there's so many other sort of OSR clones around, so many different versions of D&D effectively around, which is what Pathfinder is in the end. It is a version of D&D. That's where it came from. I have a concern about whether they can compete with that at all in any way or form anymore.
I think so.
Like, can they get the Twitch streaming? Can they get that kind of presence? Because D&D has become massive on those services.
I don't know if they'll be able to do the Twitch streaming. I think I completely agree. Pathfinder as a concept is almost useless now because, as I said, popularity of 5th edition. However, I think what people are going to still want and will still gravitate towards Pathfinder because of is that it's more tactically in-depth than 5th edition.
Fair enough. Going from finding paths to finding potatoes, you and I stopped by the big potato stall with Ross from At More Games Please, which I'm many apologies to Big Potato. I managed to miss them off my preview because I didn't my review of each day because I didn't take any photos of the games we played. We managed to play Terrible Things That People Search For, which was basically someone would read out like a My Baby Is, and you had to guess what the top 10 searches for that
search
were.
Engine.
To much hilarity. Popular search engine. And my personal favourite, clickbait. I really liked clickbait. Do you want to explain what clickbait was, Jim?
Clickbait by Rainer Knizia is... It's like an upselling game.
Rainer Knizia. That's kind of surprising to me.
There's a little bit of things like snake oil in there, whereby one player reads out a product to sell, for example. And then...
Unicorn meat was one of our
suggestions. You also then have a player then rolls a series of dice which have letters on them, and then all the other players have to come up with advertising slogans or clickbait headlines for this product using as many or as few of those letters that are rolled as they can, but they have to use those letters.
Yeah, I really like that restriction on it. I thought that restriction was really interesting. Because I've seen games kind of like this before, like, say, like Snake Oil and things like that. But I really liked the introduction of that restriction. It was
nice, and we only played about three or four rounds of it, but we ended up getting some very silly answers.
Yeah, you can hear a little audio of us playing that game right now.
Okay, let's go with unicorn jerky. I'd like to think that's not a product that exists in the world. Obviously, unicorn jerky.
I bet it does.
Yep.
Go on.
Okay. So we have got T, O, P, O, and E.
So we just have to use
words with... as many as you want or as little as you want, but you can't reuse them and you can't
add extra ones. Only use those.
Yes.
Cool.
Okay, done. Yeah. Well, let's go. So who wants to go first? Take a product.
I've got Eat Pretty.
Eat Pretty.
Yeah.
Yes?
Experience the rainbow.
Ah, yes, good one.
And I had Eat the Party.
Eat the Party, ooh. Experience the rainbow, I'm happy with that.
That's good, so
I'll give you that card, that's your one point.
Nice.
How could you use an R?
Where's the rainbow? Whoa! I'm sorry. I misread that for a sec.
Right, what was it? Eat the Party and Eat Pretty. You're going to have to go to
Eat the Party is better, that's what I said.
Eat the Party. Okay. Cool. Are we ready? Who's rolling the dice? I need to give you a thing to do, don't I? Let's go with nice magic diet pills.
Should I try Eat the Party again?
Yeah.
Just keep going and going, man. It's the only one I have.
You got P for pills, that's good.
I've got giant pills, thin human.
Giant pills, thin human, like it. Nice.
I should get thin and I stopped because it was so funny. I was like, well, I'm not even a bother carrying it on.
Poop away the hunger.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've got to give it over there. Yeah. That's an awesome one.
All right, give us a roll.
One more?
Yeah, one more.
Nice. Human milk ice cream.
This could be.
Oh, we have milk?
I've got mother's gelato.
Nice.
I'm kind of sorry for writing that.
That's all right.
That's real something.
Yeah. It's not good, is it?
Mum's rich frozen loveliness.
Oh!
I wrote, remember mother loving.
Although yours had a lot more words, I think the simplicity of it,
mother's gelato. I'm extremely sorry that I wrote that.
Yeah, it's alright, I think we're all gelato. Sorry. That
we're all sorry that we wrote those things.
There we go.
You played Gretchen's a little bit from
DeVere Games.
That's from.
Yes.
DeVere Games.
From Robert Fraga and Johan Limonier. I hope I'm getting that right. The designers of Captain Sonar, which is a game I have a great love for. Myself and my partner Michelle played it, and one of the guys demoing it played it with us as well. I was interested for the 40K license. And also, it's, you know, the kind of madcap Gretchen nonsense.
Yeah, I've heard it being pitched as having like a sort of Mario Kart vibe.
Yeah, it was trying to go for a little bit of Mario Kart, just madcap racing where things can go wrong. With a little Hanabi-esque mechanic in that you're holding cards, but you can't see what they are. So you can see everyone else's cards, you can't see what your own cards are. Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. I found it a little bit hollow, a little bit thin. the cards you have are also your attack or your failure cards, but they also they're also the track. They also double as the track. And you've got to go six or seven cards distance. That's the length of the track. The carts can never go forward. They either go forward left or forward right. And then they can also attack people. You work out how that happens by dice rolling as fast as you can until one person gets one.
Real-time dice rollers.
Real-time dice rollers.
Yeah, I've not had a good time with those in reviews. Yeah, I checked out Summoner's Isle. He had a few copies on for sale at the stall. It's an interesting little area control game about and you gain energy as you take over areas, and then you spend that energy to then get more monsters and fight. It's got cool little chits, nice little shadow sort of tokens on there with little silhouettes that look really cool. The map's absolutely beautiful, and it's a really small box with a two player and like a 3-4 player side as well. So yeah, it looks like a really interesting little product.
So is that a little bit of kind of Small World-esque, just kind of that area
control?
It's got
a little bit of that, that Small World vibe for me, yeah. Definitely had that Small World vibe for me, but all the factions are symmetric. They're all the same.
Okay.
In terms of the things they can summon.
Okay.
And it looks quite interesting. Okay. I think Rory's got a copy of it for review, and then he'll probably pass that on to me to do the same with later in the year.
Nice.
Did you manage to get into a Big Yellow Taxi, Jamie?
I was in a Big Yellow Taxi, and I was driving all around the Big Apple. Yes, again, my partner and I played a bit of Ticket to Ride New York. This is the about £20, 2-4 player, 10-15 minute Ticket to Ride. Do you know what? It's like Ticket to Ride, but smaller.
Who knew?
I can offer no more than that, only that I understand why they're doing it. That's fine.
Does it actually play in 15 to 20 minutes?
I mean, it was only two players, so. But yeah, we played it in about 10, 15 minutes.
The full game?
Yeah. You know how, in the base game of normal Ticket to Ride, you get, about 40 trains? In this, you get 15.
Yeah.
Again, it's a lot smaller. So, but yeah, even then, you can still go, as what happened to us, I've only got three taxis left. I can't do it. Ah! It's nice they're providing scoring pads this time for it as well.
Yep.
Oh, so good. That's good. So it's no more of the mental math that everyone gets out their phone calculators.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to try that out.
Wasn't available for sale, but it was, demo, and I thought it was fine. If I had never played Ticket to Ride before, I think it's not a bad place to start.
Great. I managed to pop by the UK Indie RPG League on, I think it was the Saturday morning. This is a group that are following in the footsteps of the Collective Endeavour that I used to be a part of. They're a group of independent RPG publishers. They're getting together at cons to support each other and put out different RPGs. This is the home of Spire, which is a fascinating sounding RPG about a massive sort of vertical city. Where characters level up by changing the city around them, which sounds really cool. A beautiful book, really nice artwork. I'm going to pick that one on PDFs and maybe give it a run. They also had a bunch of two-page RPGs, including Honey Heist and Jason Statham's Big Adventure. Honey Heist was available on a t-shirt as well. They also had Legacy Beyond the Ruins, I think it's called, which Modiphius are putting out, but they also had it on the stall as well. I've got a star RPG scenario for that, so might run that at some point as well. But yeah, it's really cool to see a bunch of independents come together like that and support each other, and it's definitely the way to go for some small publishers. I'd really like to see some more small board game publishers doing that as well.
Sounds fantastic.
I think, yeah, especially because it means you can get off the stall and go and look at the con now and again, that kind of thing, while other people sell your wares.
Nice.
It's a really good idea.
I was going to say, for everyone, Honey Heist is, again, as I said, a two-page RPG in which you're pulling off an elaborate heist. Also, you're all bears.
You are all bears. It isn't.
And Jason Statham's lovely holiday, is it?
Jason Statham's Lovely Holiday, where your objective is to make sure that Jason Statham has a lovely holiday.
And avoid the Wesley Sniper.
They had an anthology of these things. There was like 11 of them, I think, you could buy, like two-page RPGs. I really like this idea. I was talking about this on the Smart Party podcast. The idea that RPG sessions need to be 4 or even 2 hours long feels a little dated. And the idea that you could like run a two-page RPG in an hour to give people a taste for that hobby seems like a really, really good idea. I'd love to see more of that.
Yeah, it's like, you want to join the role-playing game hobby? Okay, how do you feel about 6 hours?
Yeah, basically.
Smacking goblins for 6 hours.
yeah, like, you'd like an intro session, here's a 2-hour game. Yeah. But anyway, I think that's a subject for another time.
Yeah, I also got to demo Museum Rush by D2W Games and Room 17 Games. It's a little kind of very silly heist game where you're all incompetent criminals trying to rob a museum. Very light, silly heist game. I'm quite a fan of the heist genre.
Yeah, I picked up Burgle Brothers recently and I haven't had a chance to play that
yet. I've wanted to play Burgle Brothers so bad.
Yeah, well, soon we'll get together and play some games.
I'm up for that. The game just did very well on Kickstarter, so I think this is one of the first times they were properly selling it.
Have they delivered to backers yet?
I think they're just delivering to backers.
Right, cool. Okay, that's good.
And I have, yeah, it was light. My partner very much enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed it. Just, it wasn't too complicated. You could play it in 10-15 minutes if you're so inclined. And it looks very nice. I mean, looks and everything. I really want to get hold of the expansion when I can, because obviously it's not available for retail right now. Just because it gives both co-op and solo play. So I'd like to try a bit more with it.
And that was one of the only things you bought with Colin, wasn't it?
That was the only game I bought, yes.
Sure. Oh, what else did you buy?
I bought a Shut Up and Sit Down t-shirt.
Yeah, as did I. Recommended Human.
Recommended Human t-shirt. And
yep. We are both now Recommended Humans, as officially Recommended Humans.
Fantastic. And I also bought a pin badge. That was it.
Yeah, I bought one of their pin badges as well. Had it on my... I didn't buy very much myself. I bought the Big Book of Battle Mats, which one of the best accessory. This is a sort of A4, slightly larger than A4, might be letter sized. Book of fold open mats, dry white mats, with things like a throne room on there, lava pits, caverns, stuff like that. So you can open it up at a page, play a D&D encounter or whatever, and then close it again and put it away.
Just very
fantastic,
convenient, really, for you.
Yeah, really convenient. Great product. I also picked up some of the HarpsCorp acrylic minis for that, which are little sort of acrylic cut minis that all slot together into little clear plastic stands you can put on there. They're just little shapes, like a sort of slightly orky shape or slightly human shape.
Oh, you bought
them?
So they
can stand in for anything. That was on stand J24,
yeah,
which was where HarpsCorp were.
Because I remember I was walking around and I think we had a look at it and I remember looking, going, "Oh, it was very nice." I remember you looking very nice. Oh,
I'm now shaking a bag of these at Jamie.
Ian is now holding up and shaking them, and yeah, they're very pretty.
They're cool. Yeah, I really like them. And the only other thing I bought was Carta Impera Victoria, which was very well reviewed in Tabletop Gaming Magazine recently, or Civ as it's called. This is a 20-30 minute sort of civilization builder in a really beautiful little box. Plays really quickly. It's got quite a lot of depth to it. You can do different things with the cards. You can build up sort of different aspects of your civilization. So you can build up military, which allows you to do permanent actions, or you can discard some of those military cards to do a different thing. So there's a lot of tug and war back and forth, and you're trying to either build up to 7 cards in a particular area of your civilization to win, or have the most points at the end of the game when the deck runs out, and you get those points in various ways. I want to play that a couple more times before I get a review of that up, but it's a really interesting little game. I really like it, and the artwork is beautiful, and it's another one of these small box games I'm really into right now. Small box games that do a cool thing really well, and also they take up less space, which is really nice. Yeah, so basically we had a fantastic time at UK Games Expo, caught up with a lot of friends, met some new ones, actually sat down and played games with people, which was really good fun. Overall thoughts on the con for me are it was a great time. There are some people buying stunning amounts of stuff, which is kind of surprising to me because, yeah, whatever, okay. I mean, UK Games Expo wants to put money through exhibitors' tills, of course they do. But yeah, there's definitely an argument that maybe they shouldn't quite be sharing all that sort of hall culture a little bit with people. But, in the end, it is a sales comp. You want to go there and buy the new cool things and that kind of thing. Games Expo is never really going to be about the really new stuff, though. That's always going to be Gen Con and Essen, I feel, at the moment. But what you do get is people showing off games that are going to be out at Gen Con and Essen. So, for instance, Ruthless that we were talking about earlier, that's going to be an Essen release with it hitting retail a little bit before that.
Billy Kerr is going to be an Essen release as well.
Expo is always going to be about demonstrating about what's going to come out, that kind of thing, down the line. I mean, what I would say is you don't need to go there and spend huge amounts of money. You don't need to like go into the expensive restaurants, that kind of thing. The street food is it's still festival prices, but it's really good quality and it's not crazy expensive. I didn't buy a huge amount. Jamie didn't buy a huge amount. We still had an excellent time. Did spend a fair amount on food and drink, admittedly.
But there were some amazing hot dogs.
But there were some amazing hot dogs, and there is footage that no one should ever see of that. Indeed. Maybe put it up for the patrons only. Anyway, yeah, so we had an excellent time. We hope you did too. Get in touch with us. Tell us about your expo experiences. And Jamie, some final thoughts from you on your first expo experience?
I'd like to go back. That's always a good one. Had a good time. One, if I had a little grumble about it, I'd probably say fantastic. People are, you know, so many great to see so many people, you know, out demoing and stuff. Yeah. But one little note, you know, demoing is fine. And if you're also wanting to sell the product that is out, learn a bit of marketing, just even a little bit, just kind of push it and kind of, oh, I hope that was all right. And be certain of what you're doing. I understand you've got seven or eight games to demo, but make sure you know what you're doing and you can go, this is what we're going to do. And you're going to make it exciting because you want these people to play it. Also, on another note, mm-hmm. Although I have Fog of Love sitting on my shelf, my girlfriend and I went down. I got her to play Fog of Love at the Fog of Love booth while we were down there. She's never played it before, and she played it and she really enjoyed it. So that's another win for me.
Excellent. Good stuff. Right, I think that's about all we have time for on this special episode of Brainwaves. We'll be bringing you your usual fortnightly news show in about a fortnight, funnily enough. But for now, we're wrapping up this special episode dealing with UK Games Expo. Thanks very much for listening. If you like what you've listened to, then the best way to help us out is to share the podcast and drop us a review and rating on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at The Giant Brain, Instagram, Giant Brain UK, Facebook, The Giant Brain. Our main website is thegiantbrain.co.uk, where you can read all my reviews from each individual day of Expo, and there'll be more coming as I get around to those. You can email us, giantbrainuk@gmail.com, and please do get in touch. Let us know about your Expo experiences. Let us know what you found cool, what the hotness was for you. And you can also support us via Patreon or Ko-fi. Links to those are on our website. And we really appreciate that. If you can throw us a dollar here and there to support the podcast, that's really appreciated, because I'd really like to get Jamie and Sam down to Expo next year, and every little dollar helps.
Ian, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to go and like book some hotels. You said next year. Yeah, I'm going to go book it now. Yeah, okay. I'll see you later. I'll see you later. Bye.
See you later, Jim. Bye. Oh, he's gone. Okay. Yeah, but actually, folks, do book your hotels now for your next year's expo. Thanks very much.
Well, there you go. A whole new show. Without me. I'll be back next week. Yeah. Might even get to Expo next year. Who knows? Who knows?